We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. This evening, Columbus Education Association President Rhonda Johnson and Vice President Phil Hayes are my guests. We'll look at some of the problems and some of the positives of this school year. And as we always know, CEA will be there to help the teachers on all fronts. So welcome back to Teacher Talk, Rhonda and Phil.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad that both of you could be here, and it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. You both are Columbus teachers. You work in the CEA office, and you provide leadership to the membership of our teachers union, and also lots of input to what is going on in the district, and we're going to get into that today. But first of all, Rhonda, you and Phil are longtime employees of Columbus City Schools. And you both have had great teaching experience. Instead of talking about your credentials, as we usually do at the beginning of the program, I'd like to talk about a different kind of credential, one that I think is really interesting to parents who might be listening to this program. First of all, how or why did you happen to go into education? And actually, Rhonda, I think one time I asked you about this before, but let's see if I remember the answer. How and or why did you go into education?
Well, you know, I have to think about back to my high school days, and I was a member of the Future Teachers of America.
Oh, really?
Not that my mother wanted that, because my grandmother was a teacher, and they thought, they don't make too much money. Think about some other career.
Uh-huh. And this was down in Alabama.
This was in Alabama. And so one of the teachers who went to my church asked my mom, please let her be part of this organization. And so she did. And we got a chance to play teacher in high school. There was one time a year we actually got to teach someone's class, and that was a really pretty cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if I wanted to do teaching or business, so then I majored in business education so I would have an opportunity to go either way. And both have served me well, because I had a great teaching career at Northwest Career Center, and then the management skills that I learned in college have helped me to be a good president.
That's right. And it's funny how we come into education. I myself thought that a teaching degree or a teaching certificate, as they used to call it, would be a good fallback in case my chosen career of being an advertising copywriter didn't work out. And lo and behold, I fell in love with teaching when I started student teaching. So isn't that funny? Well, Rhonda, what about your most memorable experience as a Columbus City School teacher back at the Northwest Career Center?
Well, I'm going to tell you a funny story. This
okay.
is really embarrassing on my part, but I want to say I had really, really great students at Northwest Career Center.
Uh-huh.
Love them. I love teaching there, and I would not have left that school except to go to be vice president of CEA when I left in 1994. And the biggest compliment a student paid to me was, you act like you're somebody's mother.
Uh-huh.
And so that was the highest compliment that could have been paid, because I think that student felt like, yes, she acts like my mother. She makes me do the right thing. She makes me wear hose in the winter and all those kinds of things. But I have to tell you about the most embarrassing moment. I taught banking and accounting, and so we had these secretarial steno chairs that had wheels on it.
Right.
A student came up to my desk and asked me to get something for him. I pushed back and fell over, and my skirt went above my head.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, in those days, we wore slips, so it wasn't quite so embarrassing. But I think I scared Robert White to death. And so maybe that was my most memorable teaching experience.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm sure he's never forgotten that either.
I'm sure he hasn't, although I wish he really would.
Well, Phil Hayes, you're vice president of the Columbus Education Association, but this is a recent post for you. You were teaching up until just several months ago, actually. And so how did you happen to come into teaching, or why did you decide to become a teacher, Phil?
It was actually kind of decided for me. As a child, I loved cosi. And as a teenager, I liked spending summers in the basement playing video games. And so my mom told me, before the beginning of my seventh grade year, no, you're not going to spend the summer in the basement. You're going to go volunteer at COSI. I've already signed you up. And so that got the hook into me, and I did 2,200 hours of volunteer service from like seventh grade to 12th grade at COSI. And that got me into wanting to teach in the field of education. Prior to that, I thought I wanted to be a radio announcer. So thank you for letting me cross something off my bucket list. So and I used it in the planetarium, and you can see the moon in the western horizon. But yeah, so that was my introduction to education.
Wow. It's funny how family for both of you seems to have been a big influence. What about your most memorable experience as a Columbus City school teacher, Phil? You were at Brookhaven for a number of years.
I was at Brookhaven for 14 years, and when I was there, I got to go to South Africa on a trip that was funded by the Mershon Center.
Uh-huh.
We actually had five South African educators come over in the fall of 2001, and then they also went with us around South Africa when we traveled there for about 3 or 4 weeks, and we got to do social action projects with our students. And then we went to South Africa. It was just the teachers, five CCS teachers. We ended up presenting how to do social action projects to social studies teachers in KwaZulu-Natal province, the Zulu province of South Africa, because as a new democracy, they really needed a bit of help inspiring the teachers to do these projects with their students to engage them in the newly formed democracy of South Africa.
Wow, that is a memorable experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Rhonda, yours sounds a little flighty.
Mine is.
And I guess maybe my most memorable experience as a teacher is someplace in the middle between the two of yours, because I was teaching the in the CAP program, which was the Kenyan academic program that was in the Columbus City Schools college credit, and had a smaller class, about 15, and really enjoyed working with these kids, always in a round table situation. And one day I was on the side of the room doing something, and one of the kids was kind of conducting a discussion, and they turned and they said to the rest of the students, "Don't you know the reason why we're in here is to learn how to think? That's why we're here." Mm-hmm. And that was something that I had said to the students many times. And then I heard a student parroting that. And so I thought, wow, I think we've made some progress. And that was always memorable to me. But we have a lot of other things that are going to be memorable about this school year. Rhonda, when we spoke last August at the beginning of the school year, boy, we were really charged up with optimism and hope for what was going to be going on this next school year. And, you know, that feeling, if you are in the classroom and working with our great kids, that feeling does still exist. But there have been these last several months some things that are very difficult to deal with, whether you're a teacher or whether you are the president of the teachers union. And I'd like us to talk a little bit about some of these things that are certainly going to impact our school district and probably our teachers as well. And that is the Columbus Education Commission is an organization that was formed by Mayor Michael Coleman. And you are a member of that, Rhonda.
That is correct.
Right. Now, I just want to, for our listeners, to state what the goals of this commission are, because there are many members to this commission. As we said, the mayor, Rhonda Johnson, and many community members as well, business members. And these are the goals. To enable all of our children to succeed in the city's vibrant, growing economy. B, to make Columbus a global leader in developing the highly skilled, creative, entrepreneurial workforce that will propel economic growth in the 21st century. And C, to leverage the resourcefulness of our entire community to meet these goals. Rhonda, I'm going to tell you, when I saw that goal of, you know, getting skills, a skilled workforce for the 21st century, I thought, I know I've read that in the Columbus City School mission statement or something very similar to it. So why do we need the Columbus Education Commission?
Well, let me go back to what you talked about at the beginning and the conversation we had in August, and we were very hopeful. But I have to be honest and say this has been a very difficult year for teachers. Very difficult. There are a lot of changes that are on us. Probably our superintendent announcing her retirement and at the end of June has had a huge impact on our teaching staff, on the morale of the staff, and people wondering what the next superintendent will be like, what's going to happen to us. And so many of our teachers only know one superintendent.
That's
we have
right.
a very young teaching staff. you know, baby boomers like myself are retiring or will retire very soon. And so it's been difficult, along with we're piloting a new teacher evaluation system in the school district. We have larger class size than we've had. We have many splits, and for those who don't know what splits are, a teacher teaches two grade levels at one time, and that and back in the day, that wasn't so hard because you could organize your students so that you could teach one thing, but with the Common Core, you know, the grades are distinctively different. So it's been very, very hard. And then we didn't have a levy on the ballot in November, which means that money is very tight. So we're seeing that in the classroom playing out. There have been a lack of substitute teachers, just all kinds of things. And so I think that this is really good timing for us that the mayor and city council president Andrew Ginther put together this commission. New superintendent coming online. Actually, the attendance scandal that we don't like to talk about, and we hate reading about this in the paper. We hate how this all affects our morale. Then just other pressures, the performance of the schools. We're very concerned about this, and so the mayor is concerned about the school district, as he should be, mm-hmm. and has voiced saying that he wants to be more active in the schools than he has been.
Right.
I think this is just a great time for that to happen. We can't do all of this work ourselves. We cannot do it as a school board, as the administration, as teachers, and as other employees in the district. We have to have the support of the business community, the nonprofit community, elected officials. We all have to come together to make the school system better for our students, to have better outcomes for our students. We have a really great city, and I believe we can have a really great school district, but it's going to require that all of us come together around this issue of outcomes for students to make it better. So I am proud to be on this Columbus Education Commission because we are addressing things that will help our students. For example, there's been one whole meeting devoted to early childhood education. Everyone wow. knows that.
That's been a real big push in Columbus City Schools, though, in the last several years.
It has been a big push.
Especially with third grade reading guarantee.
Exactly. it has been a big push expanding preschool. But we don't have enough preschool opportunities. And even if we had a preschool in every one of our school buildings, there wouldn't be enough units to serve all of the students who need it. Mm. Our students who attend preschool in our school districts do very well on the crawl scores. That's the assessment for kindergarten students entering kindergarten. But some of the preschools don't provide the kind of academic opportunities that our students need. So we're going to need to partner with Head Start and with the Urban League and other preschool centers to beef up their programs and making sure that we have high-quality programs with regular certificated staff like we do with our own preschools. So that's one of the issues being addressed. Because we can't expect to be able to make this third grade guarantee without having preschool to help our 4 and 5 year olds to be ready.
Well, before you go on, Rhonda, okay, so you mentioned we need to partner up with Head Start and other preschool programs to make sure that they are actually working with children at the same levels that our Columbus City School preschools are with certificated teachers. Okay, but that partnering up, which sounds great to me, mm-hmm. Does that add another level of bureaucracy, though? Somebody's got to administer all of that. I mean, I'm sure we don't have answers to these questions yet. But you know, who administers that? Is that the city? Is that the Columbus School District?
Well, they're already offering mm-hmm. preschool.
Right, they are.
But in many cases, the preschools are taught by, you know, teachers who have associate degrees as mm-hmm. opposed to having bachelor's degrees.
Right.
And we
right.
know that that does make a difference.
Right.
I don't really see it as a bureaucracy. We've been partnering with preschools in the city for a long time. Our early childhood education program run by Bernice Smith, they've been partnering But I don't think there's been this recognition of the community that we all need to come together around this issue mm-hmm. to partner. So I don't see it as creating a bureaucracy, but it doesn't mean that Columbus City Schools would be in charge of all preschool programs. I'm certainly not saying that.
Right.
But how about Columbus City Schools sharing the resources, like the curriculum? What are the strategies that we use in our preschool programs to make sure that our students are successful? And in some cases, they're not successful in other preschool programs. So how do we share our curriculum? How do we share those strategies?
Right.
And so I think that's what we have to do. We can't afford to do all of preschool for every single child in Columbus. But
right.
I think that we need to think about how do we provide that for every child.
What is another issue besides early childhood education? Can you tell us maybe one other issue that is being discussed?
Well, another issue being discussed is making sure that when our students leave our schools, that they are college and career ready. And we say that often, but, you know, do we really make sure that they are prepared?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tendency for people who have college degrees to want our students to just go to college and get degrees like what we did. But there are so many jobs in Columbus that don't require bachelor's degrees, but do require some type of training or some type of credential
or
associate's degree. And so our students aren't necessarily pushed in those directions.
Mm-hmm.
We have jobs in Columbus, but we don't have people to fill the jobs. So we have to make sure that our students leave our schools prepared for the jobs we have in our city. So they often go unfilled. So that's another issue. And then, of course, the issue, the elephant in the room is about governance. What should the governance of Columbus City Schools look like? And so you will hear a lot about that particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we have a democratically elected board, the mayor...
The mayor
has said that he does not want to run the school system. So he does not want to do that. He has said in no uncertain terms. He spoke to our faculty reps at our legislative assembly on February 28th and said, I do not want to run the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But he does want to be a part of helping our school district succeed.
Wow. There are going to be a lot of other issues as well, I'm sure, Rhonda. Right now, can you see very briefly how this might impact our teachers, or is it too soon to really know how all of these different issues decided on by the commission or recommended solutions by the commission will impact our teachers?
You know, we always go back to the Cleveland plan and say, what was in the Cleveland plan? And, you know, does the commission intend to just drop something down on our teachers like the Cleveland plan? But I have to tell you that a lot of the things that are in the Cleveland plan, we've been doing for years in Columbus City Schools, like our peer assistance and review program, like our Article 211 process, which allows principals and their staffs to choose the people who are working in the building. And there's some other things, like teacher evaluation.
Right.
We're actually following the Ohio teacher evaluation system that was defined by the Ohio Department of Education. So it's too soon to tell
right.
exactly how this is going to affect teachers. I am glad that I am at the table.
Glad you're there, too.
So that I am there to express the views of teachers and so that we are not harmed
right.
by all of this. But there will have to be some changes,
mm-hmm.
no doubt about that.
We'll see that in the future. I'm sure you'll come back to tell us all about it. Phil, there's a search going on right now. And
yes,
that's for a new superintendent for our district, Dr. Jean Harris. She's been a presence here as superintendent for about 12 years, I think, but certainly as a teacher and administrator for many years as well, and also was a graduate of Columbus City Schools. So what do you think from the point of view of an educator and as a CEA leader, what are some of the qualities that have to be considered when we're hiring a new superintendent? What are some of those things that, as an educator and as a CEA leader, you'd like to see?
That's an excellent question. And just like Rhonda said, you know, she's been my superintendent for most of the time that I was in the classroom. And so I think first and foremost, with all the changes that are going on, the new superintendent has to be able to stack hands in a way that's never been done before in Columbus City Schools, not just working with CEA, not just understanding what the teachers are going through on a daily basis in their classrooms, but also being able to co-create and collaborate and work together, all hands on deck, with the business community, the faith-based community, nonprofits, to make sure that whatever changes are brought about through the commission are really sustained and carried on and directly and positively impact our students.
Well, do you think, Phil, that the superintendent, the new superintendent, whom I think they hope to have in place sometime this summer, I'm guessing, anyway, that person will be on the Columbus Education Commission?
Well, I'm not sure what the future holds for the Columbus Education Commission once they make the recommendations to the mayor. That the mayor, I don't believe, has spoken about it, but I think that, you know, as much access that the superintendent can have with those folks and all the people sitting around the table, because they really represent all the different agencies and communities that help our students succeed. And so I think more contact would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this is going to impact all of us, I'm sure, as to not only, as Rhonda mentioned, what the Columbus Education Commission recommends, but also what type of superintendent comes in here and what their agenda is, although I'm sure they have to answer to many others when they come into this district. Phil, on a more uplifting note, March was the month that CEA ROARS, and ROARS is an acronym. Of course, I'm referring to the Reach Out and Read campaign sponsored by Children's Hospital. By participating, Columbus City school teachers were able to show their generosity and their support of literacy, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, absolutely. Reach Out and Read has been something that CEA has done, and Tracy Johnson, who's a teacher as well as a CEA staff consultant, has led the Reach Out and Read efforts since 2007. Mm-hmm. And so it is one of the newest additions to our charitable campaigns. Last year, more than 1,900 books were donated. And what it does is it gets books into the hands of our youngest students, even before they enter the Columbus City Schools, so that when they go into a children's hospital close to home center, they're able to get a brand new book. And it may be the first book that they've ever gotten. The pediatric doctors, they work with those families, the parents and the students, to begin that literacy. It takes hold at a very young age because, as Rhonda said, with a third grade guarantee and the disparate resources for preschool around the city, we need to get our students reading as soon as possible.
That's for sure. And it really makes a difference later on when students are exposed to literature at an early age. Mm-hmm. We really see the results as time goes by. Well, Phil, this is we're going to be wrapping up here in just a minute or so, but I want us to kind of clarify something that was in the news, then in the news again with a different story, and that is we've received conflicting reports of Columbus City School budget deficits, and I know, like a lot of people, they see the very first thing that says, uh-oh, we're short $25 million, and we're changing the school day, and we're getting rid of millions of teachers, etc., And then there was another report in the newspaper. And so could you clarify what the situation is? And I'm hoping this will be the last word on this.
It is a constantly evolving situation. Initially, there was the need to cut $25 million from the budget. With the new funding model from the governor, money was discovered in that funding that allowed the superintendent to remove her recommendation of laying off 103 teachers at the middle and high schools because of the shortening of a period. So her recommendation is to not do that. And so right now, at this point in time, it's $15 million that needs to be reduced from the budget. And that's the latest as of now. The Board of Education may vote soon to whether or not what cuts should be put into effect for the next school year.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that for us. Certainly a different story than the first story that was issued. Well, we are out of time here. Any last words, Rhonda, that you want to say to the membership or to the families of Columbus City School students?
Well, thank you for having me on the program again. And I just want to tell teachers to hang in there. Although we're going through some very difficult times, it won't always be like this. And believe me, after 35 years of experience, I can tell you. That.
Wonderful.
Yes.
We're getting the correct word here. Well, I want to thank Rhonda Johnson and Phil Hayes from the Columbus Education Association for joining me on Teacher Talk this evening. It's been really an informative and interesting program. This concludes our program. Please join me on Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Miziak saying good night.